But so Dexter, now we're just gonna, it's the time where we focus on our guests, we learn more about our guests, and just get a little insight. So first question I'll give you here: how has cybersecurity impacted your career, maybe business endeavors, mm-hmm. lifestyle? How has it impacted you?
Yeah, it's a great question because I could think of different places I've worked where I've seen over the years, I can definitely speak to this in the last, I would say, about 6 years. I've seen increased methods by different news organizations I've worked for to step up cybersecurity methods to inform their employees of it. I working for the New York Post right now, I remember the first year I was working there, we did some cybersecurity training. They had us do it again last year, constantly updating people. They even send out sometimes some fake phishing emails to see if they can catch them slipping out here.
Yeah, you gotta love those. Yeah. You gotta love those.
Yeah.
They're getting good now.
Yeah, one of my coworkers, she got caught. She got caught slipping out there. And, but it's good to learn to sort of remind. Somebody's like, well, why would a company do that? It's good to remind you that you can get caught slipping. There was actually a situation. This happened recently after we connected. Someone mm-hmm. sent an email and it looked a little fishy to me in terms of what they were asking for. And I hadn't seen it within the company. And I sent it, I forwarded it as you should, if anything looks suspicious, to the cybersecurity team. They looked at it and actually verified and it was fine. It actually was somebody trying to ask me some information that was actually correct. I just wasn't sure at first. I was just like, I hadn't heard from this person. I hadn't talked to this person in the company. And then I looked and they did the work. And then I was like, oh, it's legit. And I contacted the person through Slack and it was fine. So I was appreciative of that. That's something that just recently happened. This happened like in the last 5 weeks. That's something that recently happened. And it shows you the impact of cybersecurity. Look, I work, data is key in what I do. I work for a news outlet. Information is key. And so you want that protected. Even some people who do things even more important to me, I think within journalism, some investigative reporters, they have sources, they may have things in their email, people they've talked to that they're trying to protect. And so you have to make sure that that's right. And there's in our cybersecurity training, there's a lot about what not to put in your work email and maybe keeping a personal situation, nothing that you think would compromise the integrity of the journalism that you're doing. So especially, I think specifically in what I do, it's very important. And I think it's good to know that for different news outlets, you want to make sure that your cybersecurity team is doing the best to protect their information. Like I was grateful once I saw this email that was fishy, even though it wasn't, they were appreciative of saying to me like, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. If you think something is wrong or you think something's right, it's better to be safe than sorry. They were saying that to me like, no, don't feel bad. Better to be safe than sorry. This is what we're here for. And so that gives you, I think as an employee, you feel safe. It kind of helps build that trust. Like we were talking about Alfredso in terms of the sports teams, it helps make trust and being like, okay, the company I work for, they got my back and they're trying to protect my information, protect me.
Absolutely. Have you had anyone try to copy your persona and say they were you and they weren't? I could see that as a potential attack vector, right? Like has anybody tried to say they were your brand or the Pulse agency and they weren't? Like
no, that hasn't happened. Okay. It hasn't happened. It hasn't happened professionally, but I've seen it happen to other people professionally in terms of like their social media accounts being taken over and people trying to impersonate them. I mean, I've actually experienced people I know also who are fellow journalists contact me something from an account. And I was like, this seems wrong. And I texted that person like, yo, I think something's up with your account. So I've had that happen on two occasions where I've seen it happen to other people. And luckily I was able to tell them. And sometimes these people were even verified on their Instagram or Twitter and X now. And they were able to then have their organization handle that through their cybersecurity team. So I've been part of alerting some people of things that have gone on, but no, nobody's tried to impersonate me yet. Hopefully not ever. So hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
What obstacles have you overcome to arrive to where you are today?
You mean in terms of my career?
Yes.
I think, anytime in journalism or just in America, I think, being a black man, being black in this country, there's already obstacles. You know, you always, you know, your parents have told us a lot of times you got to work twice as hard. So very early in my career, I experienced, you know, some racism. First job I ever had, an editor who was above me was a little jealous of the stories I was doing and tried to sabotage me. And then the only job I've ever been fired from was that job. Fired me with no just cause, just because he didn't like the shine I was getting. And so that was an obstacle. And I remember, I've shared this story in other podcasts. Before that time, this was back in 2006. Before that, I had met Stephen A. Smith while I was in college. And he had told me, you know, to stay in touch. And we had stayed in touch for a while. And he had said to me, I wrote him an email when I got fired. And I said to, and I told him what happened. He said, look, you know, sadly, as a black man in America, this is something you're going to experience, even in the newsroom, in the workplace. But he told me, you know, keep your head up and take advantage of every opportunity that you can when it comes. And that was some advice that I held really close to my heart. And it's been true. And, you know, it was good advice that he gave me then, because it was a time where it was my first job. I was down about it. So that was definitely an obstacle. I think there were some other things in my career where doors were closed or people told me no, and you're not going to do this. And I had to end up creating a lot of opportunities on my own, creating my own media outlet that allowed me to be seen by some other places. So, you know, one thing I've learned, and it's something I try to live by, is, you know, sometimes you're going to ask people for opportunities. Sometimes they're not going to give you. But the question you have to ask yourself is, who's going to stop you?
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody can stop you but yourself. I'm a big believer in that. There'll be a lot of times people close doors and tell you no, but no's are really not yet. I don't really believe in that. I think there's been obstacles. There's been people, I've had some difficult bosses, didn't necessarily want to see the best for me, but I've always had a good group of people around me, family, friends, loved ones, that have helped through that. So there's always been those obstacles, and there still continue to be. But yeah, I'm always asked, who's going to stop me? If you want to find a way to get something done, you'll find a way to get it done. And I've been able to do it. So yeah, as a black journalist, you're going to experience racism. Sadly, it's going to happen. It's terrible. You should speak out against it. I would definitely say that. But we have to speak out against it no matter what the profession is. But yeah, I've overcome it through family and strength and belief in myself and continue to believe there's nobody can stop me but myself.
Nice. Yeah. Word. Message received.
Yes. Glad to share it.
So, this is a coffee show. We have coffees part of the show. So, what's your favorite coffee? What's your go-to?
I'm not the biggest coffee drinker. I drink coffee when I'm tired, but if I have to, I'm going with a latte, green tea latte. And I get a shot of espresso in that, especially on the days when I'm really tired and I need it.
Oh man,
that'll help perk it up. Got to go with that extra shot. Cat's something you want to do all the time. I just want to be clear, right. Be clear on that. But yeah, that's my go-to. I like lattes and I like a green tea latte. So that's my go-to.
I'm gonna take that recommendation. I'm gonna try that.
It's a good one.
Try that one out, man.
It's good. Green tea matcha latte. You can't beat. I just had one yesterday. Can't beat this. It was really good.
All right. Yeah. So as far as like hobbies, you know, like what do you do for fun? Like when you're not in the studio, you're not working.
Yeah.
What do you like to do?
I love, you know, I try to stay in shape. I love working out. I'm a biker. I like to bike. A lot, okay. Especially when I don't do it in the cold, but when the weather is nice, I really like yeah. to bike. Heat doesn't really bother me, but the cold, I can't really do that. Love to bike. I'm a music head. I love listening to music. Music gets me through everything, I'll say. I know you asked me when I'm not in studio, but I love watching sports. I mean, this is why I do a lot of what I do. I still love watching sports. Yeah. I think there's a way you try to still decompress it. Like Dr. Joseph, I'm a huge New York Knicks fan, been a Knicks fan since I was 7 years old. I love watching the Knicks. I love watching my teams. I like experiencing new things, man. You know, traveling, trying new food, traveling with my family, experiencing new places, new food, new culture. I like that. It's just experiencing life. I love live music. So I love concerts. That's something I like to do when I have the time as well too. So yeah, for me, it's just about enjoying life. If I can travel, I can try new food and also have music. Whenever you can bring all those three things together, which gets to happen.
Together.
Yeah, yeah. When you bring that together, that's pretty good, man. That's a pretty good vibe. Yeah.
Absolutely. With the biking, are you like a bike packer? You like you put the saddle on the bike and pull all your stuff in it? Are you one of those type of bikers?
Nah, I'm not. At least I'm not there yet. I'll say okay. that. I like okay. You know, because I'm here in New York City. I like to map out a lot of routes around the city and go to places I like. They're a little bit scenic. Some longer rides, some shorter rides. Sometimes it might be riding to the park, and there's a big park here in Brooklyn, Prospect Park. I'll do that. And it's got some challenging hills, and I like to challenge myself on that. I really ride for endurance and then to get to places that I like that are scenic and sit back, enjoy that a little bit, and then ride back home. So that's it. I'm just trying to ride safely because some people are probably like, you ride in New York? Yeah, I map out my rides. I look for bike lanes. I try to stay as safe as possible. Yeah, because people are crazy. I mean, I drive too here, but people are crazy. So, you know, yeah. You got to be safe.
Nice. So as you mentioned, Knicks, so I can't have you on the show.
Dr. Joseph is smiling. He couldn't wait for this moment.
I can't have you on the show and not talk Knicks. We got to talk a little bit of Knicks before we close. So with that said, my family, they're fanatics as well, and they flooded in their questions. So I'll start with them first. So first is for my father, so Joseph Sr.
Joseph Sr., all right, here we go.
Yeah. So actually, this is more kind of tied to like how you got started. So first he asked, do you have any family members in journalism? Like I guess what prompted you, or do you have any influences that made you want to start in journalism?
So no family members in journalism at all whatsoever. There was no family members, but this is where I think, you know, I like to talk to this when I talk to young people. Representation is so important. Being able to see people that look like you. I think that, you know, people always ask me, it's like, when did I know I wanted to become a journalist? I think like I kind of knew when I was leaving middle school into high school. I was involved in my school newspaper, middle school. But if I'm being honest with you guys, I didn't really think about it or see it as a career at that point. I thought at that point I was going to be a doctor. You know, I thought it could have been called me Dr. Dexter, like Dr. Joseph. I thought it was going to be. And then I had switched after high school and wanted to do something medical and be involved as an athletic trainer. But my dad always used to say he saw me as a journalist because he knew I used to buy the paper every day. I was always reading it on sports. And I was a pretty good storyteller. I'd won the storytelling competition for Brooklyn back in, what year was that, 1996. So in a way, it was like always there. But you asked me about influences. I remember seeing Kurt Menefee, who now hosts the NFL Fox football show. Yes. He was, back in the day, he used to host Fox 5 in New York locally, and he did the show Sports Extra. And I remember he was the first black guy that I saw locally being a sports anchor.
Was that the one that's extra?
Yeah, you remember that?
Wow.
Yeah, and so he hosted that show on Sunday nights, and I remember like watching that, and I, you know, it was funny because I was asking. It's funny that you asked me this question, Dr. Joseph, because I asked this question to somebody else today about their sports heroes. And for me, then also is Brian Gumbel. I was a huge fan of his. Yeah. His reporting with HBO Real Sports. So I love that show. The show just ended at the end of last year. I love that show. And I'd also put Stuart Scott. I think when I got to college and when I kind of decided that I wanted to do sports journalism, Stuart Scott, I just liked because of his style and the way he did it. He was doing it differently than anybody else. And it was seeing a black man do this and also use his style of hip hop and our vernacular and do it so unapologetically that I just loved. I was like, man, I'm glad to see somebody just doing it their way. And so those people have had huge inspirations on me, and also just being like, you can do it. You know, also I have mentors that I have to shout out that helped me along the way. A mentor of mine, Cord Stanley, a mentor I had when I worked at AccuWeather, Alicia Betts. I've had some really great people help mentor me along the way. Jamoke Davis, who's one of my biggest mentors when I was going to school at Pitt. And I would not be here doing any of this without him. So yeah, it's having that representation, but it wasn't something that I knew I wanted to do early on. But I also give my dad a lot of credit too, because my dad, when I was in college and I decided to switch my major from being an athletic trainer to this, he really empowered me to do it and was like, yo, I see this for you and you can do this. And that mattered, because if you don't see anybody else doing it, there was never nobody ever really close to me that I saw do it until I went to college. Yeah, that matters a lot. So I try to be that person for other people now, young black men and women who are trying to be in journalism, people of all races, but particularly I'm very passionate to help our young black men and women in that and be that person for them that they could see and say, hey, you could do this too. You can go further than I did. So that's very important to me. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this is from my mom, Yvonne. So shout out to my mom. So she asked.
Shout out to mom.
So with the current win streak for the Knicks, do you think the Knicks can sustain this and go all the way to the finals and win the championship?
Oh, that is a good question. First of all, shout out to your mom, Miss Joseph, being up on the win streak. I love it. Knicks, at the time of this recording, has won 9 in a row. This has made Joseph, your son, very happy. And I think that, I mean, the streak's going to end at some point, right? But I think Knicks are, and I think something special is going on with this Knicks team. They're playing really good basketball. They're really unified together. I was texting with one of my closest friends, longtime friend and Knicks fan, and he said to me the other day, man, I haven't felt this way about the Knicks since the 90s. And I am agreeing with him. I'm not sure I felt this is the best team we've seen in a while. I don't think they can go to the finals until they add another piece. I still think they're like one piece away. But I think they're close. I think they're a contender. I think we got to start thinking about them as a contender. They're right there knocking on the door. So I want to tell Miss Joseph, have faith, stick with the team, enjoy the process. I think they're playing really hard for the city, and the team is behind them, and Knicks fans everywhere behind them. There's just a different energy. And when the Knicks are good in New York, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it when the Garden is rocking. There's nothing like it when I see fans. Joseph is wearing his hat proudly. You know, he's smiling. You know, everything feels better, Joe, when the Knicks are good. I see, Joe, I know you live like life is good now. Right now. You're like, they won 9 in a row. You're feeling better. It's good. So I think they could be close. I think they can make a deep playoff run. I don't think it's crazy to think they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals and play at Boston and Milwaukee. I don't think that's crazy. I think this team isn't scared of anybody. They fight. They have a good leader in Jalen Brunson. I just think if they're healthy, we'll see. Let's see if they're healthy and playing some of their best basketball come April, and we'll take it from there.
My brother's going to be mad I didn't have any questions now. With you just saying that and feeling the energy, my brother's going to watch this episode and be like, yo, I'm not talking to you for not giving
He's like, come on, Alfredo, you got to be better.
He loves the Knicks, so I'm going to call him after this episode.
But you know what? He's got to appreciate Dr. Joseph's family for coming through because, they came through with two great questions already. So I'm intrigued to see what else we got here. What else we
got? Yeah, I got more.
All right,
so this is from my brother, Javi. Shout out to Javi. So with the Knicks playing so well right now, do you think it's wise to chase a superstar, or should the Knicks use their draft capital and move up in the draft?
I like it. You know what, Javi, shout out to you. Because I feel like way too many times fans I talk to about the Knicks never bring up the latter part of what you had in your question, which is move up in the draft. And I think that's a strategy. So I'm going to answer your question by saying, no, I don't think the Knicks have to go get a star. Because I don't think there's actually a star on the market that is there for them to get right now, as of today, of us recording that podcast. Maybe after the season that changes. But in terms of the people that I think could be on the market right now, no. So, to your point, Javi, I don't think it would be bad if they said, hey, can we identify a young player in this year's draft that we can use our picks and our assets and move up to go and get and add to this core that we have right now? I think it would also extend the run, open up championship window that they can have with another young person who could come in and kind of grow into that, being a third option and then finding their way into it. There's many ways to build a team. The Knicks don't have to just go to get another established star. I love that, Javi, you're thinking about the draft. I wish more fans thought like you. I think that way. I think it's a good way to think. I think, but to answer your question, Javi, I would say I think they're going to be patient. I don't think they'll get a star at the deadline coming up in a couple of days. I think they're going to look to add maybe a smaller piece, another ball handler. And then I think they'll look at this team, look at this run with OG Anunoby, hopefully with a healthy Julius Randle, Jalen Brunson. Yeah. And then in summer, they'll evaluate and say, what do we need to do to tweak? Do we need to then add a big name? Do we need to do this through the draft? I think when the season's over, you'll know a better answer to that question. But I wouldn't expect a star at the deadline right here.
Well, Alfred, I want to make sure I don't want to hog out the time. My friends, do you have any questions?
Or? Oh, I'm good. I'm just preparing for my brother to like tell me like, yo, you're bum for not asking questions.
The backlash.
Man.
Bro, I'm mentally preparing for it right now.
Just mentally prepare. That's all you could do.
So for me, so with the Knicks right now, they're sitting at, as of this recording, they're sitting in third place, but they're knocking on the door for second because even with the hiring of Doc Rivers for the Milwaukee Bucks, they, at this point, they've lost two in a row.
Yeah,
I think they play tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
The Bucks or the Knicks?
The Bucks. I know the Knicks play tonight against the Lakers.
Okay.
So I don't know if the Bucks play tonight. But let's say Knicks win and they move up to the second spot. Do you think, especially given the success they had last season, do you think it's crazy to think that they could even, I know we said finals, but even let's say we're moving the bar up from the semifinals last year, let's say conference finals, do you think that's a realistic expectation for this team?
I do. I actually do. Based on the way they're playing now, especially defensively, I think if they're healthy, it's a realistic expectation. OG Anunoby, the trade, I mean, I loved Emmanuel Quickly. RJ Barrett, that was a great trade. You see the dividends it's playing for the team. You know, the 17 games, they did 15-2 since the time of the trade, since he's played on New Year's Day. I think the biggest thing, and we've got to remember, they're doing this and they don't even have Mitchell Robinson who could still come back.
Right.
This, their defense could get even better, which is scary. It's scary because the defense could get actually even better, right? And I think the reason fans like this team, Dr. Joseph, is they're playing gritty, they're playing tough, they're playing that kind of basketball New York fans like. Yeah, I don't think the Eastern Conference. And here's the thing. Boston is, to me, definitely the best team in the conference. It might be the best team in the league right now. It would Denver probably too. You give me either one.
Right.
The reason I think the Knicks could beat Milwaukee is I could see it being a situation where a little tougher. The Knicks are better defensively. Milwaukee is not a good defensive team right now, especially on the perimeter. They struggle a lot. People will say, oh, well, they probably the two best players in the series. You're right. Dame and Giannis, probably. But you know what? Jalen Brunson is a dog, man. Jalen Brunson's a really good player. And we got to start putting some respect on his name. So, yeah, could the Knicks get to the conference finals? Absolutely. Especially now with the landscape of the East. You mentioned Milwaukee, Dr. Joseph. You also talk about Philadelphia, who you don't know how they're going to be in terms of Joel Embiid's health. And now there's an issue with his meniscus. So we'll see how that plays out.
I think he's done.
They might have to shut him down. They said they're making some decisions where there will be rest or rehab, or he'll be shut down for the season. So who knows? You know, right now, it's interesting. And you never know when these windows are going to come. And that's why I understand the question from your mom. And I understand the question from you here. You don't know when these windows are going to come. That's why I think you just have to enjoy the process. Tweak, build that chemistry, have that good defense. And listen, I think conference finals is definitely possible. Knicks went to the second round last year, and this team is much better than last year's team. This team is much better than last year's team.
Yeah.
Much, much better. And you could tell, but they have continuity, which was the word the day I was at training camp for the Knicks this year. That was the word they talked about. Everybody talked about. Julius Randle was
continuity.
Saying
continuity.
Continuity. Mm-hmm. That was the word. Okay. They were talking about how they felt good about the continuity. Now they've added a piece in OG Anunoby, but the core of that team is there. The identity of the team is there. That's why I believe they can go on a run. They understand what they are and what the culture is of this team. And so, yeah, I think they can. And if the Knicks go to the conference finals, a lot of us are going to be very happy. See, Dr. Joseph, I see you smiling there already, man. I see it already. They're going to be very happy.
Oh, man. I'll tell you.
You think they're going to take it against the Lakers tonight? You think they got it in the bag?
Nothing's ever in the bag, man. Nothing's in the bag. And it's funny, as you say that, it depends, I think, a lot to me if, like, OG Anunoby plays. But, I think they could do it. I could see it going up to 10. I could see the streak going to 10. I was just looking to see if there was anything on the injury report. But I could see that streak going up to 10. Wouldn't shock me at all. Yeah, wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, because I think LeBron and AD, they're questionable for tonight.
And they did not play against Boston. But they did win that game against Boston, which was a very good win for the Lakers. So, I think the Knicks could win it. The Lakers' offense in the half court has been struggling a lot. The Knicks are playing good. I think they're very confident right now. That's another thing you see when the team's playing good. They never think they're out of it. No matter, you saw it the other night, they're down 15, they come back. And Jalen Brunson is playing at a level where he's not going to allow them to lose. And I think the way they defend, they always have a shot in every game, for sure.
And that's a stark contrast to Knicks teams of old, where like if, mm-hmm. if you look at the screen, you see the Knicks down by 15, you're like, oh, damn.
Oh, man, game's it's over. A bad night. Right.
But like now, I'm like, nah, there's still time left. That, you know, Knicks is still turning us around. So, you know, the whole thought process changes now with this team because you're not – because you know they're going to fight through it. And yeah. and that was a great example of it against Indiana. They were down by like at least 15. They were able to come back. And I'm so glad that they got that win against Indiana because Indiana's not a pushover. Even though they may be lower in the standings, they're still a formidable team.
Oh, yeah, still a formidable team. That's a rivalry I'd like to see come back. Because, you know, grew up, the Knicks-Pacers rivalry was fun. You know, Knicks Heat is starting to get fun again. And so, you know, I'm glad to see some of these rivalries come back in the NBA, especially around the Knicks.
You think we actually have a Pacers diehard fan. Shout out to JG. When we were in high school, he was definitely a Pacers through and through fan. I remember him getting a lot of flack in high school for it. So
good. I'm glad they gave him flack. I'm glad. Shout out to you though, JG.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
When you said that, I think it went back that far. You're right. I think it went back that far for that rivalry.
Yeah, those are some fun battles with Reggie Miller and the Pacers. Fun ones, man. Right? Really fun ones. Yeah.
And last question, and we'll wrap up. So given we're getting close to the trade deadline, and I know there's always been talk about the Knicks need to make a trade or make a move, but do you honestly think, just given the current structure of the team right now, do you think they need a quote unquote superstar or just maybe, like someone off the bench, you know, just like another piece, you know, just to kind of get that spark, especially when Jalen Brunson goes to the bench and, you know, try and get a breather. Do you think they need someone like that, or do they need to? Because I know for the longest we're talking about Donovan Mitchell from Cleveland trying to bring mm-hmm. him up, but I don't even know if he even fits anymore to bring. But, I don't know if they even fits with the team. If he was,
yeah, I think it's good that you think about fit. I think sometimes you hear fans talking about, let's just make a trade. I don't think they think about fit. They think this is just playing 2K with no injuries on, and chemistry doesn't matter.
Put all the superstars in one team.
like that's not how this works, man. Like, right. That's not how it works.
You said 2K.
Yeah, it's not how this works. Yeah, it's like I was on earlier today before we recorded, when I was at work, I was on Rick Kamla from Mad Dog Radio. I went on his show and he was talking to me a little bit about the Knicks, and he was asking me about these rumors that have come out recently about should the Knicks trade for LeBron? And I'm like, what are we doing? Thank you, Dr. Joseph. Why are we talking about this? Right.
Now, I don't know.
To answer your question, I'm in the latter part of what you said. I think the Knicks should make an incremental move, try to add another ball handle off the bench. I think a Malcolm Brogdon, like I said, would be a perfect fit. Maybe Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, that kind of player that could come in and play and take a little pressure off of Brunson, help us in the playoffs, or just another scorer. I think that's the move for right now. Listen, if the Knicks continue to play well, the Knicks are now an attractive destination. People in the guards rocking in the playoffs, the people who want to come are going to play here. Some superstar will be disgruntled after this season. It'll happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's – I'm just throwing some names out to excite some people. I don't know if that's Devin Booker in Phoenix. Maybe it's Luka Doncic in Dallas. I don't
know. He's got the name list.
Throwing some names for people. The NBA is crazy. The NBA is crazy for the fans who watch this. Anything can happen.
My brother's going to clown me. What's your thoughts on McBride and the Brunson duo? Like, is that a good – dynamic or
I like what McBride has done. I think McBride that once quickly got traded, I love that he has improved his shot. He's a really good defender. I think McBride is going to be a good piece. He's on a very quality friendly deal for the team. You wish he could create a little bit more, but you could see his confidence gaining as a player. McBride's a good player, and even they had some minutes, you know, I know, I'm sure your brother knows about this, they had some minutes the other night where they played together in the backcourt, and I thought it looked fine, it looked well. But it's because McBride is a bulldog. Just wish I had a little more shot creation from him. But the biggest thing for me is that he could defend and he could hit the three now. His shot is looking a lot better. He's more confident. So he's a good piece for the Knicks. The Knicks have depth. The Knicks players who are even their 9th, 10th men, McBride, Jericho Sims, those guys can play. You don't feel uncomfortable when they come in. But I think the Knicks should try to add a piece at the deadline that can help them off the bench. I think, and like I said, in the off seasons when you make, let's see how the season plays out. Who knows? We might be talking in the off season. Knicks have made it to a finals. Who knows? Let's see how things play out. I didn't mean to get you too excited, Dr. Joseph. But we'll see how things
play out. I'm gonna catch the game. I'm definitely gonna catch the game tonight.
I'd have to go to the Garden. Hyping
it up.
I gotta go to the garden. Get some tickets, bro.
Those tickets are price high. When the Knicks are good, them those the Garden passes.
That's my thoughts. this was good. This was great, Dex. We definitely appreciate you coming through. Any last words, sentiments before we close out, Dexter?
Last thing I want to say is thank you, guys. I love what you guys are doing in the space that you're doing. I love that you're trying to educate people on cybersecurity and find different ways to talk to people from different backgrounds, because cybersecurity is, it affects everybody and everything. You know, we talked about it with sports, and I think it's so cool for me as a sports journalist to come on this podcast and talk about it, because I never would have thought in my career that I'd go on a podcast and talk about cybersecurity. I never thought that was going to happen, but that happened today. And it was in a cool way, right? That was connected to what I did. So I really want to salute you brothers for doing what you're doing, because I think it's very important what you're doing. I say that with all seriousness. So keep up the good work. Content creation is a lot of work. It is not easy. Yeah, you guys are taking the time to prep, to talk to your guests. I want your audience to know that these men are doing that, and they're putting in the work, and they're making good connections. You know, Dr. Joseph and I connected on LinkedIn, and we're making good connections, and he reached out to me to come on the show, and it's great. And, you know, I just want to say, keep doing what you're doing. And the last thing I'll say is go Knicks. That's it. All I got to say is go Knicks. Knicks. Let's get it.
Appreciate it. Thank you, man. I definitely appreciate the kind words. All right. So that's a wrap. So thank you for tuning into the Cyber Coffee Hour. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. Follow us on all of our platforms. You can find the Cyber Coffee Hour on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. Quick shout out to CP the Franchise, Alex, Knicks Fan TV. Yes,
my guys.
You know, I'm definitely going to be tuning in after the game tonight. So, that's a wrap. Thank you all, and catch you on the next one. Peace. Thank
you. See you.